February 11th. See, God damn it, we just got done talking about it. And I fucked it up. Oh, man. It's Monday. I like Mondays, though. All right. Wednesday, February 13, 2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, thank you for joining me for another week in a fantastic beginning to 2019.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm well. My wife and I joke around like, hey, 5 years in and you're still around. That's cool. I feel the same way about you. Hey, 6 weeks in, Eric's still rolling. So he must like this gig.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gig. I like it. Yeah.
Very good. Well, I'm glad. You and I started getting into a really interesting conversation that we hadn't planned for the podcast. And then, as we were getting into it, I realized we suggested, hey, maybe we should talk about it. So we hit record. So we're going to continue that conversation while it's fresh on my mind, and then we'll roll into some of the usual segments. We were talking about gambling buddies and sort of the notion that there's people in your life that you hang around because that's someone that you do a certain activity with, and in some cases for some people. There's not a lot of options out there, or they just get into a routine of like, hey, that's someone I do this with. And then sooner or later you kind of realize, hey, this is actually kind of not a great human being. And, I don't know why I'm bothering doing this with this individual when I'm realizing that, they're not a great human being to be around. And, as you and I were talking, I was finishing up the thought that, I've learned that, and this is someone who wasn't a gambling buddy, but is the reason why I would not tolerate hanging around someone that I do not find to be, when I see someone not treat other people well, why I would want to keep. I had a friend of mine for 10 years, man. We were friends for 10 years. And he was always great to me. He helped me out in some rough spots. We had seen multiple parts of the world together, 10 years, and he started on an endeavor that he was determined to succeed at, and did a couple of things that was made it clear that the success of that endeavor put our friendship way on the back burner. In fact, he wasn't paying me the same respects that I had paid him for almost 10 years on preferences on how things happen. And I'm being incredibly vague with that, but he didn't like being on social media for 10 years. He didn't like being on social media. So like, he wouldn't even let me like take a picture of him, and post it like on Facebook for other people who know both of us to see like, hey, me and him are like spending time together. Like, he did not want his name, image, anything on social media. And then he starts this endeavor that requires social media, so he's on it, and he was tying my name with things that I didn't like professionally couldn't have, and was arguing with me about whether or not it mattered, and like would be like, oh, I'll just, and he would tweak it and like, no, just take it down. And it just made me so angry that he wasn't paying me the same respects that I had paid him for nearly a decade. And I started really thinking about it and like really reflecting, like, yeah, this, he was nice to me, but he wasn't always great to other people. And I saw specific situations where I often took the other person's side on a situation, like, oh, I was like I'm with that person. And lo and behold, eventually colors show. All that to say, a gambler is not someone that I'm tolerating that with. I have to believe that you're a good person, that you're good at heart, that your intentions, either with the friendship or even just how you treat other people has to be well, or I'm not associating with you.
I've come to the same realization. I used to allow for, shitty people that were good gambling buddies to be a relatively regular part of my life. Just because we would have fun at the casino together. But, I think that that time has definitely passed just because somebody's fun at the casino. You know, once you realize, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. I don't know whose line that is. I've heard that before. But it's true, right? If they're a shitty human being, they're a shitty human being. I've gone as far, and I'm thinking of one person in particular, where they're such a shitty human being that not only have I disassociated with that person, I've disassociated with all of the people that I know still maintain a friendship with him.
Yeah.
It's like birds of a feather. If you're cool with that type of activity, you know, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but I have to, you know, it's a hard pass for me.
Right. And I had this experience when I was in the Marine Corps, right? Like, so that I, you know, I'm a part of this organization where, like, I'm obligated to be affiliated with these individuals. And in a lot of situations, when you're in the military, when you're a young service member, when you're, especially when you're overseas or in other situations, you're required to, like, have people with you when you go do things, right? Like, when I was in Algeria, when I was in Russia, you know, it was required that we were with someone when we went out into the city. Now, it didn't always have to be a Marine, but those were always the most, those were the most easily accessible people. Like, hey, I want to go do this. Here's someone right down the hall. Do you want to go do this with me? And, you know, sometimes that meant going along with someone that you got along with, but you knew wasn't great towards other people, right? And you know who I'm talking about. In a gambling setting, it's the people who treat the dealers poorly, the floor people poorly, you know, who's arguing, who's, like, getting angry that the cocktail waitress, like, maybe, like, messed up their drink order or something like that once, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's the people who they're cool with you, and so you can obviously tolerate or even enjoy their company, but their way they treat other people, the way they move, you know, it's sort of like, I don't like being affiliated with you. And I guess my after you know, 5+ years in the military and having to do that, and I was fortunate enough that I was with a lot of good Marines, so I didn't have to do that too much, but enough, you know, people are like, hey, what's up with your friend? And he always want to be like, yeah, don't think just because we're hanging out that we're friends. There's way more to why they're here. I need them here to be here. But fortunately, now that I'm not obligated to do such things, I get to choose who I hang out with, and I choose to hang out with Eric Rosenthal. So,
well, I appreciate that. And yeah. You know, I'll add, you know, beyond just behind the microphone, you know, the people that show up for these different events overwhelmingly have been wonderful, great people, you know, not just good to hang out with, just, you know, you could tell good people. And I think that's really the big payoff for doing things like this, is the network grows and you build relationships with people, and you cast a wider net. And it allows you to remove bad people from your phone, from your social media, and from your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, no one that I have spent time with at a casino since I started this podcast has made me feel this way. I don't want anybody thinking like, oh man, I don't want anybody trying to think of like, man, when I hung out with Tim, did I give a bad impression? No. That's not what's happening here. The topic got brought up. We're discussing it. I personally have not had to deal with this in a while. And I've been so pleasantly surprised, and mostly because in any facet of life, Eric, there's always 10%, right? There's always one that you're like, oh, that person's not, I'm not digging that person. But this community has been amazing in that sense, because in the Gamblepalooza, the Biloxi trip, the Vegas vacation, couple, you know, like an AC trip where we hung out with some people, the Baltimore hangout, never once have I left any of those circumstances thinking like, I'm not hanging out with that person again. And I've been amazed that those people will come. And sometimes it's just a personality difference. But a lot of why I would decide to hang out with someone, first, obviously, how you treat me, right? Like if we're hanging out, we're at the table, and like you're being a jerk to me, I'm not hanging out with you after this. Second of all, if you're being a jerk to the other people, that's equally of that's an equal offense in my book. So But then after that, you know, everybody's different. Very well. Well, Eric, fortunately, we get to choose in a lot of ways who we hang out with. You and I choose to hang out with good people.
That's it.
Gambling in the past week, I have not been to the casino. I have not hit the tables. I am saving that. Not saving that, but I haven't gone in anticipation of the Chicago meetup this week. So, I have not gone to a venue that offers such gaming. But I did plenty of sports. It was a nice week for me. Mostly soccer. Soccer was really good. Did some college and NBA that went my way as well. So, sports was good. How about you?
I took a flyer on the AAL, but nothing. Nothing, you know, how do I say this? There wasn't a lot of money. So, you know, it didn't work out for me. It was a losing week, but I think cumulatively I'm down one unit. I mean, it's not nothing worth talking about. But I was pleasantly surprised by having action on the AAL and how that kind of fit in, and having the NFL behind it makes it like this whole other, you know, it's kind of like a D league for the NFL.
Yep.
And when they had, you know, the XFL and, you know, various different attempts to kind of fill this void for people like me between the Super Bowl and opening day for Major League Baseball, you know, they're always trying to do things so differently to differentiate themselves from the NFL that it, you know, it was just gimmicky and didn't work. This felt like football. It's different, right? Like the rules are not the same, but it's not so vastly different that I needed somebody to explain to me what I was watching and why. And, you know, everybody's taking action on it. I don't know, you know, I guess I can opine as to whether or not if the XFL was open today, if books would take action on it. Maybe, I guess, but this was just like seamless, and it gave me something to watch on a Sunday evening that, you know, was enjoyable. And it's not the NFL, but it's good enough, and it'll get me through to April.
Yeah. I have less of a void than individuals like you in that soccer is still occurring, and I love soccer because it's a year round thing. Even when Europe's done, there are some leagues down in South America. And then, of course, MLS is going. Women's soccer is going. The Women's World Cup this year. I cannot wait. I dig NBA. I do a little bit of college basketball. Not a lot. I do a little bit of college basketball. There was a really interesting promo, Eric, and I'm curious if you started it. There was an interesting promo that William Hill was putting out. They identified 10 marquee matchups of the, between now and the beginning of, Sunday, so the 10th. So starting the 10th, I think, 10 marquee matchups in college basketball and between now and March Madness. And they, for if you bet $25, at least $25 on either side of those matchups, if you got all 10 of them right, you got a $5,000 bonus. If you got 6 to 9 of them right, I think you got a $100 bonus. And then anything, I think 5 right, I can't remember. I think you got like a rebate or something. I can't remember, like a little bit of loss kickback. I can't remember what it was. And then 4 or less was just you were, you know, donezo. But it was an interesting promo. 10, I mean, that's not easy, right? Going 10-0 in any 10 game sample size is not easy. But for a $250 risk with a $5,000 possible payoff and with a possible $100 payoff, right? So assuming you don't lose, so if you won 6 of them, you won enough to sort of get your money back plus the 100. So that's still a benefit. That's, you still benefit there. That's a profit, right? If you won at least, I think it was 6, maybe it was 7 on the $100 bonus. But anyways, if you got the $100 bonus, you won enough to get your money plus, you know, you guys are getting what I'm saying. So interesting bonus. You and I had briefly mentioned it over text message. Did you do that? Did you bet on game 1?
I did. Yeah.
Did you take Duke or Virginia?
Duke.
Nice. Very good. Good. Well, as soon as that game was over, I would have taken Virginia. So,
well, if I'm being totally honest, I took both.
Yeah, I know. I knew that was coming. Yeah. Are you betting both the whole way? I guess what I'm saying is
the math. I don't think the math will make sense to play both sides the whole way. I don't have that many accounts active where I could play all the iterations profitably.
Right.
But early on, yes.
Okay. Very good. Cool. Well, so as we mentioned, not every promotion coming out of these sports books are beneficial. Some of these are. This is one of them. This is one that if you were into college basketball, if you had any conviction on either side or a lean at all, $25 minimum bets, not much to over the span of 10 games to give yourself a chance for a $5,000 bonus. So, Eric, we will check in week to week on that to see how that's going for you.
I can guarantee you I'll be a winner this week too.
You guarantee it, huh?
I can guarantee it.
I dig it. I didn't even look what the other marquee matchups are, but I imagine they all involve Duke or Virginia or like Villanova. Who else? Tennessee, maybe. I don't know. Tennessee is probably too much. Or I'm this, probably stretching it out.
Listen, this all comes down to Team A, Team B. I'm not handicapping anything. I'm gonna take.
I get just saying it's early on enough that you're taking both sides. You guarantee you're gonna win one. Gotcha.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I understand now. Eric, prop swap. As the saying goes, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Have you heard that before, Eric?
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Someone told me that in a trading scenario. Someone told me when I was first starting getting into stocks, and we were talking about like holding and selling and stuff like that. That was when he was giving me guidance. That was his opening line, was pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Well, the same thing happens in sports betting. This means it pays to be greedy, but not too greedy. This March Madness, Prop Swap wants you to get fat. I plan on getting fat March Madness. I love March Madness. PropSwap.com is an online marketplace where you can buy and sell sports betting tickets. Whether it's a long shot future, a parlay with one game left, or even a straight bet at halftime, PropSwap lets you post your ticket for sale and lock in your money before the game is over. PropSwap is also a great place to find tickets at better odds than what's available at the sportsbook. Go to PropSwap.com today or download the PropSwap app. Let me tell you, I will be browsing PropSwap for March Madness, no doubt. And for the Masters, if I get some physical tickets, I may be posting something on. I might take some good long shots that I like to make the cut. Have you ever bet on the Masters?
No.
So I could have cared less. That's not the way. I couldn't have cared less about golf a couple years ago. And then my good friend Gil Alexander starts hosting a numbers game. And he did Masters things on his podcast as well, Beating the Book. But it wasn't until he started hosting a numbers game and was in, instead of just one podcast about the Masters, it was like multiple segments, right, throughout the week. I started getting interested. Last year, I finally got inspired. And the Masters actually live streams the event from their website. And I found myself at work, live stream open, like listening to the golf call while also doing work. Signs of a degenerate. But I like the Masters. I thought oh, maybe golf's a thing now. No, I didn't bet on any other golf for the rest of the year. But for some reason, the Masters did it for me. So I'm ready for the Masters. All right. Topic one that we were going to bring up, budgeting for a gambling trip. And of course I bring this up in anticipation of going to Chicagoland this weekend. Gamblepalooza is right around the corner. I'm curious about how you budget your gambling trip. Do you have an overall trip amount? Do you have a daily amount? Do you, Do you think about how much you're willing to risk even per game that you're likely to play? I don't know if you niche it down that much. But take us through just sort of the basic process. I'm sure it's pretty simple. But what do you consider when you're gambling, when you're budgeting for a gambling trip?
Assuming we're staying within the US, I apply for a marker ahead of time, and I apply for the amount that I'm willing to use on that trip. Gambling trips, I guess, vary in whether it really is a gambling trip, a trip where I'm looking to put up a big number from a rating perspective, or if it is just a social, like your trip to Chicago. You're going to be spending most of your time, you know, with people and hanging out and drinking and smoking cigars. I would handle that differently than I would a trip where I'm looking to either take advantage of a promotion or something of that nature. But either way, I would apply for casino credit ahead of time based upon the amount that I'm willing to allocate for that trip. And generally speaking, I'm either looking to play heavy, and that means the one big day. We talk about that a lot over at travelsork.com.
Yes.
I'm looking, so I'll just use numbers. If my budget for the trip was 5,000 and I wanted 5,000 to be my budget, if 5,000 went in day one, then I was done and that's it. But for a trip like Chicago, any of these events, I never like playing at a level higher than what the group is at. So I will very regularly, you know, I'll sit down and, you know, table minimum with everybody who's there, because it's about socializing. It's not about the action. And then I need to spread it out a little bit. Then, you know, if we have a couple of days of, you know, I guess social interactions at the table, then I want to make that last. But that's not the most advantageous way to do it. But I guess it depends on what your measuring stick is.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have daily budgets, right? But because for similar reason, like we said, on the one big day, right? I've been trying to adopt that as best as I can. I try to, especially for trips that have structure, right? So the Gamble Paloozas, the Chicagoland meetups, the Vegas vacations, where it's like, here's how the pacing of the trip's gonna go on as far as events, what I'm doing, stuff like that. And I can sort of get an idea of how much or what type of gambling I may be doing day to day. And without actually writing it down and structuring it on paper and actually parsing out what all that means, I make a budget for the trip in general. And that, of course, means from the second I walk into the casino to when I check out, right? So that is the trip. And I sort of think of it as like if my one big day, it's like this week, my one big day, if I were to do one, would probably be on Saturday on Saturday when we're Horseshoe Hammond, we'll get a few hours out of us, and then Harris Juliet, we'll get a few hours out of or get a number of hours out of us. That's probably 70% of my gambling this week, right, is on that day. And so looking at it that way, I'm going in with a grand. I'm going to be looking at, you know, maybe I allow myself, a couple $100 a night before, and then I'll probably let myself play through the rest of that on Saturday. If that were to come to, like, I'm allocating and then Sunday, if there's anything left over, I'll play it. If not, then I guess the day has been the trip's over, right? The last day for me is gratuitous in gambling. Depending on how long it is, right? If I have most of the day there, then I budget for it. But for me, the last day is either to enjoy what's left, to enjoy some of my winnings, or just, you know, just call it good. Maybe I'm done. Maybe it's time to, you know, calm down. And being disciplined on, so throttling myself on day one when it's not a full day, is a good discipline, to make sure I'm pacing myself, and then limiting myself on the last day, considering it gratuitous, I don't need to be here, is a good way to make sure that I'm not chasing any losses, to make sure that I'm not wasting away any good winnings that I had, and to make sure that I am taking advantage of anything else that's in the area that I want to make sure I did, because I know that, because I am a gambler, when I go to gambling locations, that's what I'm going to do. The last day is a good opportunity to do a couple things that maybe I intended to do, but because I got caught up at a craps table, I didn't, right? So, that's sort of my pacing on gambling, and that's sort of how I budget it. Full trip, and then I sort of look at each day as sort of like what percentage of my weekend bankroll, the trip bankroll, should be allocated for that day, and then as I go game to game, that's when I started thinking. Friday night we will be most likely just hanging out, maybe some group gaming here and there, but I'm gonna take it easy. On Saturday, I know there's gonna be a lot of good group gaming going on, probably a lot of craps, probably a lot of Pie Gal, probably a lot of stuff like that. So if we haven't hit a craps table yet, you know, like midday through Saturday, not that that's gonna happen, but just as an example, if we haven't hit a craps table yet, and we sit down and maybe play video poker or whatever, I'm slowly playing video poker, knowing that there's a craps game coming up, because I don't want to accidentally get through too much of my bankroll on this when I know I'm going to enjoy having more to play with at a game that's soon to come. And then lastly, the last thing is, you know, am I going to be betting on sports? And that matter for me, that matters my bankroll, because I know that's something I'm going to be doing throughout the weekend. How much of my bankroll, is there anything good going on during any good games, anything I intend on getting a decent amount of action on, and how does that play into the percentage of the bankroll that I'm willing to play?
Oh, that's interesting. I parse out sports betting as a completely separate thing altogether. Like my table play would have no impact on the sports betting.
Interesting. Well, yeah. It plays, so it doesn't matter in the fact of like where I mentioned, like, oh, I'm playing this and I have this left to do. I'm gonna make sure I limit how much I play here. It doesn't play into that, but it does, like, it is. I do consider it in my overall bankroll. In the overall bankroll that I allocate for a trip, I do try to consider that, and yeah, because sports is where, you know, it's something they say in the military is chow is continuous, right? When you're doing something that there's going to be no chow break, you just eat as you can. To me, that's sports betting. Sports betting is continuous, right? Like I am always looking to get action down when I'm in those scenarios. That's interesting. So you have two separate budgets then, or you don't even really budget the sports, that just comes as it does.
I mean, I have I consider it a weekly amount that I'm comfortable with for sports betting. But like you, it's a separate thing. So, there's casino play and there's sports betting, and even if sports betting occurs in the casino, the budgets are different. The casino action, I can take a loss and be okay with it if there was a purpose to it, and I assume there will be future offers where I can replenish and or, you know, feel like value was received aside from the entertainment that occurred. You don't get that with sports betting. Yeah. So it's kind of a silo. I have to keep it separate so that I can, you know, just make sure things don't get out of hand. And sports betting has become a much larger portion of the overall action that I give. So it's really important that I kind of pay close attention to that account, just because you can give continuous action and there be no issue, or you can give continuous action and you can turn into a shit show. A lot of that has to do with how you manage yourself, not just the money, right? But I think the financial ramifications are your first clue as to whether or not there is an issue. And then there are behavioral things. So, you got to keep an eye on both, but the money allows you to kind of see what other things are being triggered, what behaviors are being triggered based upon results. That's all.
Very well. Very well. Eric, good feedback yet again on a recent episode. Last week's episode was another hit. Chase was humbled and encouraged to hear that so many of you enjoyed his interview. Living the better life includes one's faith and how to balance theology with hobby, right? And so a lot of you enjoyed that perspective, and Chase was humbled to be able to provide it. Preston Johnson, who is of Latter-day Saints belief, also sort of touched on that part of his life in his interview. So if that's a perspective you'd like to hear, that was episode 28 with Preston, another fantastic interview we had with the better. So thank you everybody for shouting out on Twitter. Thank you for including and tagging Chase in your praise. I know that he was humbled to see all that, and we look forward to bring better interviews, but I saw oh, the word better is so much fun now. Oh man, I did not think I was gonna have so much fun with this word when I created this podcast. The other topic we're gonna talk about was bringing up that you're a gambler into conversation. Look, around good friends, around people that we know are likely other game, like it's just that's what we who we are, right? It's like when you're a part of a hobby, it's what you do, right? And I was at brunch yesterday with some a friend had us over, and they had some other of their friends over who I was not I was not familiar with, but everybody was friendly. We were having a great time, and I went to reference something from my gambling life as to provide context for something that I was about to say. And I felt a little bit of hesitation on how do I say this? Like how do I, and so I quickly mentioned that I'm a recreational gambler and that I do this podcast, and then I got into something I was going to, what I was going to say. And I was like, man, why was that so? I play Dungeons and Dragons, Eric, and I find it easier for me sometimes to tell people that than to tell people that I gamble. Do you struggle with that at all? With, either with people that you're unfamiliar with and bringing it up, or even I know that do you ever struggle with bringing it up with clients? If you have an example there that you care to share, but I'm curious, do you struggle with introducing that part of your life when you have something to contribute to a conversation that includes it?
I don't, and part of it is, I guess just experience based. So, I am a member of a large fraternal organization that does not promote itself. And what you learn as you go through, you use certain language that other people would pick up on to know, so one member would know another. And very much in the same way and manner with gambling, I use language, I just kind of insert gambling parlance throughout a conversation. And if somebody picks up on it, you know right away, right? So there are many times where I'll get the feeling that somebody is part of the group and, not part of the group, but, they're one of us, so to speak. And I will say something, let me think of an example. Because some of the terms are, you know, kind of ubiquitous enough that they blend in, but not, you know, I'm not going to throw Buffalo Yo in the middle of a conversation that doesn't make any sense. Right. But I will use terms like double down on something or parlay one thing into another. And there will be like a continuous stream of language that way. And I let them say something. For professional reasons, I don't lead with it. I don't specifically with clients. It's not something where I want them to know that I'm a gambler unless I know that they are as well. But if you just pepper the conversation with terms over and over again, they'll pick up on it and they say something. And if they don't, then I know, you know, this isn't a conversation that I want to have, and I move on.
Very well. Very well. I have found myself, in situations like I was in yesterday, what I try to do is just tell the story as if everybody at the table knows what I'm talking about, and then have them ask about the parts they don't know, right? So like I told the story one time of the dealer that had the Pat Tillman jersey on, right? And I told that to someone else outside of this community, and I just said, I was like, yeah, I was at a Pai Gow table and the dealer, and I let them, like, oh, it's like Pai Gow, like that was that, like that's a, what is that, a game, right? Like I had them ask about the parts they don't, and I've done that in where I assume I'm introducing maybe a new concept, no one asks about it, and I can just assume they understood all the parts of it, or, you know, whatever. So I found that to be a way of introducing that part of my life without like having to begin with mentioning, oh, by the way, I'm a recreational gambler. But yeah, I was curious about that. That's I'm also interested if on Twitter at The Better Life or at Timothy J. Lawson or at E. Rosenthal 1029. Yeah, there we go. E. Rosenthal 1029. I'm curious if anybody else hesitates in those moments when you want to say something that includes that part of your life. But you're saying it to someone you're not quite sure how they feel about it. Yeah, so weird. Yeah, I'll tell people up and dude, I will share my suicide attempt with somebody like faster than I'll mention I'm a gambler. Do you have anything on your list?
Well, I was going to tell the story that got us into, that intro conversation with, you know, bad people as gambling buddies.
Yo, I glossed right over the fact that you had that to provide. Why don't you stop me? Why don't we, like, hey, I'm not done with this conversation yet. Because you're a nice guy.
Yeah, I try.
you're someone we want to have at the table. very well. Tell us that story.
So, I am. It was a Pai Gow table. Sitting at a Pai Gow table. And there is a gentleman and his wife that are there, and I have a friend at the table as well. And everybody's getting along fine. I mean, it's really like it's a good mesh of people. We are, you know, the cards were good. The company was good. Like, I really thought that I was settling in for the duration at this table. And then the husband's buddy shows up, and, you know, it's very clear that they are meeting up there. And this guy's a class A jerk off. I mean, he's just, if he has a redeeming quality, I didn't see it. Rude to the dealer, rude to the floor. You know, it was an Asian dealer. He made a few remarks about how he speaks English, and, you know, he didn't outwardly where I guess specifically make racist comments towards her, but they were all like backhanded comments. And I was wondering, like, how do these two people, like, one guy is a total gentleman and the other one is a total jerk off. And it had me thinking about, like, well, I guess I hung out with jerk offs for gambling purposes. And it just got to the point that I colored up and left. Like, I did not, you know, as good as the game was, and sorry, my cat tried walking on the computer and I swatted him away and I think he lost one of his lives. That was a nasty fall. That looked like the quarterback who got blown up on Saturday and his helmet popped off. That's what my cat just did.
Anyway.
It got to the point where it was like, all right, I don't need to be here for this. Even if the cards are going well and everybody else at the table is fantastic, this guy's a jerk off and nothing good is going to come from me staying here. So, that had me get up and leave and had me thinking about, like, why do we accept maybe bad people is not the right term, but why do we accept bad behavior from our casino buddies? And I just won't do it anymore.
To be clear, I don't think we're talking about a poor moment in one's actions, right? We all overreact to things, right? I told a story from Baltimore where I snapped at the craps table. But I quickly, after I had walked away and cooled down, I came back and I apologized for my behavior. But when there is a when just in a set of 15 actions, 10 of them you're being a jerk. I'm not hanging around for that. And not even just like, so one, I'm not going to be like, we are not going to be casino buddies if that's how you behave. And on the other side, if someone I don't know is behaving that way, I'll leave the game. Unless I'm with people that I enjoy, I will leave the game if someone's being, if someone's behaving that way, because I want to enjoy the game. I want to sit down and have a good time. I don't want someone who's constantly complaining about things at the table. And that goes to, you know, the conversation we had a while ago about how people who play poorly in blackjack, we don't leave because they're quote unquote ruining the game for us. We leave because it's not fun to play when that's happening and you're losing, right? The worst of those situations, Eric, and this has only happened to me one time, but it's happened. And, when someone is playing poor blackjack and then also criticizing the way that I'm playing, mm-hmm. and the table's losing, mm-hmm. that's happened to me one time. Mm-hmm. Table's losing. Person's criticizing me for like what I'm doing, right? Hitting my soft 18 against a 10 or whatever it may be. And then they're hitting their 14 against a 6 or something like that, you know? And it's not like, oh, you're causing us to lose. It's, you know, but I digress. Going, if someone is treating the dealer like crap, nah, I'm out. And I'm complimenting, especially, so if someone's treating the dealer like crap, if the dealer is being rude and someone is confronting that, I'll tolerate that. In fact, I'm probably leaving then too, because like rude service at a casino will drive me up the wall. But I
look at somebody treating, and I'm not talking about tipping, right? Some people tip, some people don't tip. Yeah. I think you should, but if you don't, that's not my business.
Right.
I think if you speak to a dealer rudely or you treat a server badly, if it happens once, it may speak to where you are at that point in time. If it right. happens regularly, it speaks to who you are as a person.
Yes.
And I have zero qualms being judgmental about that. It tells me who you are. And I can tell you that if you're somebody who's going to be verbally abusive to a server or to a dealer, I'm out.
How do you feel about people who are tipping the dealers well and also being a jerk?
I think it depends on how big of a jerk they're being and how well they're tipping. So if you're being a little bit of an ass, but you're tipping heavily, I think most dealers would take that.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, if you're tipping a dollar and you're being a jerk, that doesn't make up for it. But if your action is sufficient and the tips are large enough, I'm just putting myself in the shoes of a dealer, right? They're there to make money. So as long as you're not really crossing lines, you're just kind of maybe a little difficult. I think that's okay. You're kind of feeding the meter to keep it okay. Not ideal. I think everybody should be pretty okay. But, you know, you're right. I've run into, like, pretty nasty dealers. And, you know, I get how it could happen. And if you have a couple of incidents like that, you know, then it changes how the better feels about the staff. You know, we had an issue, I guess it's about a year ago. I don't remember. We talked about it on Vegas Confessions, where I called a gambling buddy of mine down at the other end of the craps table at Jerk Off. And the dealer at the other side of the table thought I was calling him a jerk off. And it turned into this whole thing. And like all of the other dealers were telling him to like calm down. Like he wasn't talking to you. You're making something out of nothing. And it became a thing. It became a big thing. And that probably, like the way he went after me probably changed the way I felt about dealers at that property for a little while.
So
I think any one incident can change how somebody feels, but you know, when you have a body of work to pull from, you know, you can tell who's a decent guy and maybe had a bad moment, and who just somebody who treats people in a service-oriented role poorly.
It's impossible to be, I guess not impossible. I understand when people are just in an unpleasant mood, right? You pick up on this, you know, you sit down at a table to get that person who wants to be overly chatty with a dealer who's not interested in being chatty. And you can quickly pick up on like, okay, this dealer's not interested in having it, but they're fine. They're dealing the game fine. They're doing what they got to do. Being short and kind of not interested in conversation, that's you know, I don't find that to be rude. I've played with people, or I've been at a table where it's clear that the player who wants to be chatty is finding the lack of conversation to be kind of rude. I just want you to deal a good game, possibly snicker at my joke if I make a good one, right? But the dealers who are, for no other reason other than their personality, or maybe, or their mood, is being rude. Have you ever, I guess, two questions. What's the strongest you've ever confronted a dealer for being rude? And have you ever reported them? Have you ever, not reported them, but have you ever like gave feedback to the casino of like, yeah, I had a really bad experience at your table because of this dealer?
So in Atlantic City, the dealers are union. So the handful of poor experiences that I've had, maybe handful is the few times where it's been an issue. You know, I'll use that craps table as an example. The floor, you know, sent the dealer off, and like he just jumped in and he was filling in. And, you know, it was clear he hadn't dealt in a very long time, but he knew that this guy was hot and bothered and needed to be removed. you know, if he was in a non-union shop, he would have been sent home. And everybody was aware of what the situation was, but no commentary on unions in general, but the floor specifically said to me, there's nothing I could do about him. He's union. You know, I'll take care of you separately. Just, you know, his hands were tied, so to speak. And then I shared that with a dealer or a former dealer who was in non-union, and he laughed. He was like, yeah, that stuff would never fly. Like in Vegas, they're mostly non-union. He was like, that would never fly in Vegas. You can't treat people like that. You know, Total Reward, what used to be Total Rewards, Caesars Entertainment sends out surveys almost every time you're in their property.
Yeah.
And I've made it a point to mention when things went awry, but, you know, whatever black hole that goes into, I've never heard back from anybody.
Right.
And at this point, you know, I'm fairly certain they plug in my number and they're like, yeah, no, we don't care about him. We're not going to reply anyway. So,
it's sad, but kind of, probably true, huh?
Oh, I'm 100% sure it's true. I've been specifically told we're not going to tell you to not come back, but we're certainly not going to try to make it worth it for you to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not making good on this just because you had a poor experience. Right.
Right. Right.
Gotcha. Very well. Let's finish up. If you got any decent offers, any promotions that catches your eye, anything that any reasons you've been going to the casino or might go to the casino based off of what's being offered more than just the fun of casino gambling?
Yeah, so I got a really interesting offer from Resorts World Catskills. So this is upstate New York. It's probably a 2.5 hour drive for me. But it included free play in addition to their new player promotion, where basically they let you earn up to $1,000 in free play as you go. So the front free play plus that promotion makes that offer very, very solidly positive EV. I believe it's electronic gaming only, so it's not a, you know, unless there's something there that I don't know about, there is no advantage on the game, but they're offering so much in free play for coin in, and table games are electronic as well. That every time I run the numbers, it's a sizable win, and it's supposed to be a nice property. So I'm gonna go check that out.
Very good, very good. There was one promotion that's happening at MGM National Harbor that I was interested in taking advantage of. They call it the Money Tree Giveaway. You get some slot points. You play a table game or you play a kiosk game for some free play. That'll be happening while I'm in. Well, I'm in Chicago, so I will not be taking advantage of that. And then there is a drawing on President's Day, which is the 18th. Now, there's a coin flip chance I end up going to AC on the 18th. The weather, I think, is the thing that actually matters the most in those plans. But if I don't go up that way for a night in AC, I will be playing. I will be playing in this this drawing. You essentially get a you get an electronic drawing entry for every 5 slot points that you earn in this like 12-hour period. And so you know, you can play in some JOB. You can get a lot of entries. You can extend your bankroll and get a lot of entries on that. So I may play that. And then something going back to like, you know, I have M Life Gold now. Does it really, you know, even though it's not swinging all the way around and well, I guess it will when I need it to, but on getting me diamond status with Total Rewards or with Caesar Rewards. And now that I need it, about once a month, MGM National Harbor has a promotion called Wheel of Winners. It's just a spin of a virtual wheel on the kiosk, but because we've learned in MGM National Harbor, your tier, no matter your play, your tier does sort of affect what the floor and what's being offered sometimes. The floor in this, for a pearl, would have been $10 free play, the floor now being $25. So just that alone is going to, you know, provide 150% more value this year as a gold gold member. So I have that. But nothing else really. I'm getting a bunch of match play offers from Charlestown racetrack of Charlestown, the Hollywood Casino there. But it's just a little too far away to make even $50 worth going out there. And nothing else is really catching my eye. But there's a bunch of Valentine's Day gift type things that are in the giveaways. But I saw that Horseshoe Baltimore, MGM National Harbor has similar things. But the MGM National Harbor, they have a necklace and earrings. And looking at the descriptions, I think they may be very similar to the ones they gave away last year. So I'm not. So my wife already has those. So I don't know if I need to do that again. But there is one on February 20 that's different from what she's got before. So I may play that for her. I think that unless you got something else on your docket, Eric, I think that wraps up this week's episode.
All right, so Gamblepalooza 2019. For those of you coming in, this may be your first time in Atlantic City. I'd recommend the Travel Fanboy podcast. Last episode, he had on Craig Stone from Do for a Win. I think they did a really nice job kind of talking about the different aspects for a first-time Atlantic City visitor. Craig's insight, with the exception of the Irish pub, I think are spot on. He has a love affair with the Irish pub that many of us don't share. But in any event, it was entertaining. It was a good listen. And, you know, again, I think overwhelmingly it was very, very good information. And you should listen. Regarding Gamblepalooza, I mentioned last week that Chef Volus is out. We had secured a number of reservations to make sure that this was, you know, we had everybody covered. And Vito is taking polls on if people want to eat these meals. We need to have an idea as to head count, and the math is looking like more people don't want a sit-down meal. So if you're coming and you want a group sit-down meal, you need to be a little bit more vocal, because we may just wind up scrapping some of these meals, because it looks like the majority of people are all saying, we'll just grab something separately, we'll get together to gamble. And that's totally fine if that's what we want. But if you did want a nicer sit-down meal, we need to know. Otherwise, we're just going to cancel the reservations.
Well, one, great minds think alike, because I also had Travel Fanboys episode on here as something that Gamblepalooza attendees should check out. That is episode 24 for Travel Fanboy. Two, count me in on all group dining plans, Eric. Mm-hmm. So if you do make, so any reservations you make, anything, count me in on all of them. Because as much as I love group gaming and doing other things, I love hanging out with my fellow gamblers even more in unique experiences like that. Because I'm never gonna like treat myself to a nice dinner otherwise. So, put me in for any or all of those that may or may not happen.
Well, it'll happen. Just the question will be, is it a table of six or a table of 36?
Word. Well, count me in.
Cool.
Yep. That's me being vocal. Everybody heard it, Eric. Everybody. I don't know if I can get much more vocal than that. I'm going to call Vito. Should I call Vito?
You should call Vito.
Yeah. Cousins Vito's Casino Podcast, coming out just about every Thursday, is another great resource to check in on Gamblepalooza updates. I don't know why that word was so hard for me to get to. My goodness. Updates. So Chicagoland Meetup is this weekend, Friday. I'm getting it midday. I should be at Harris Juliet probably by 4, I think, depending on traffic. I should be there by 4. I'm going to hang out, take the night. I'm going to take the first evening easy, meet up with whoever's there, play some Low Limits stuff. I mean, Low Limits is hopefully the theme of the whole weekend, but I'm really going to pace myself. Excited to meet everybody. Saturday's looking good. We're already talking about who's driving. We're getting a driver set up for the going around and checking out the other local casinos. Excited for that. Let me tell you, Eric, Auto Slash is awesome. Most people probably know Auto Slash as a sponsor for other shows, not a sponsor on this show, but let me tell you, I love them. I have already saved, I've had them tracking my car rental for the Chicagoland meetup, and I've already saved like an extra $40 on the entire rental from them tracking the rental. So, and it was already an affordable rental to begin with, right? So, Auto Slash is pretty awesome. If you're going to Chicago, so there's a few different scenarios here, and aren't a scenario, but we got some people coming out for the whole weekend, right? Some people are coming in Friday night, staying at Harris Juliet, leaving Sunday, right? Which is sort of when we're all taking off. There's some people that are coming in just for the Saturday stuff. People who are just coming in to maybe meet us at one or the other casinos, whatever. That's perfectly fine. Excited to meet those people. Meet those people too. Plenty of time to hang out and create some gambling experiences. And there's people who's coming in for just the Saturday night, people who are coming in at some point in Saturday, they are staying with us at Harris Juliet, and they're taking off on Sunday, whatever it may be. Whichever those you are included in, if you want to be included in the Twitter group chat, ping The Better Life or Vice Lounge Online, and we will add you. Me and the Vice Lounge boys have finalize their ideas for the content that we're going to be recording together. Excited for that. We're recording both a traditional Vice Lounge episode and a Better Life episode. So two pieces of content coming out of that. Excited for that. You mentioned Gamblepalooza. Only other trip that I have going on this year, probably at least one trip to Vegas. I'm interested in going to G2E Expo, which is October 15th to 17th. And I'm also interested in going to the Summit, which does not have dates yet. If they're close enough together to tie into the same trip, I'll do that. But I probably can't swing both of these trips. And if I had to choose, I'm probably ruling with the Summit, because I'd rather hang out with a bunch of fellow gamblers in Vegas than walk around an Expo full of games I may not play. So, those are my plans. You got Macau coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up quicker than I
it's March, right?
March 11th, I believe.
Wow.
So we're at a month. We had recorded a Macau cast episode, and I'm not the type of person that plans very far in advance for travel, for other things I do, but this is just normal, I guess. Not that Macau is normal, but having a trip a month out without hotel rooms being booked or knowing what you're doing, that's very, very normal for me. And I have friends that are joining me in Hong Kong. So it looks like we're going to get in some horse racing in Hong Kong and the Macau trip. We spoke to Seth Miller, who I had met through Zorkfest. He was one of our speakers. And he was kind enough to tell us about all the high points in Hong Kong and Macau. And it dawned on me, and I wonder if this is a trait of gamblers or if it's just me being different than other people. A lot of the stuff that he was recommending that we go see, these sites are relative to like a spectacular view. That's never really resonated with me.
Huh.
I'm the kind of person that could go to the Grand Canyon and think it's beautiful and awe-inspiring for 30 seconds, and then it's still the same view. So I'm not sure that I spend a whole lot of time there. And that's those are kind of those things. So I do wonder about that. If you're like me and, you know, making a huge trek to get a great view, probably not worth it to you. I'd like to hear that. And the opposite as well. If you're like most people and you think I'm an idiot for not appreciating it, you know, call me an idiot. That's okay too.
Yeah. And even outside that context, if you'd like to call Eric an idiot, feel free, let that fly. just not too many times, otherwise we're not going to gamble with you, right? You can only do it once because that's just a bad day.
No, you can call me an idiot in a respectful manner and that can go on forever. It's
that's fair.
Yeah, that doesn't
be rude about it. Be respectful about it.
Yeah, that doesn't cross any of my lines.
Sir, I think you're quite dumb. Well, thanks for being nice about it. Eric, patreon.com/thebetterlife is where people can support the show. We throw some bonus content, some bonus audio here and there. Most of the content is not related to gambling, which is why it doesn't make the show and makes it into bonus content. But we find it interesting and entertaining nonetheless. This week, there'll be a few because I forgot to post last week, so I'll include that one. There is a conversation we had on views, on like not views that we have philosophically, but like actual physical views, like I'm viewing something from like on top of a mountain or whatever it may be. And then there's one other that's on my, I have two workstations. I have my computer at my desk. It's my main workstation. Then I also have a Microsoft Surface that I work in. And I realized that early on, I think it was in January, there was a piece of audio that never got posted anywhere. And I'm going to post that. So there should be at least two, maybe three bonus audios being posted on the Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife. Tip your dealers, tip your cocktail waitresses, and tip your favorite podcast host. We do appreciate the support. Please leave us a rating and review in your podcatcher of choice, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. We're all there. We love it. We appreciate your feedback. The website is up, and it's about 80% of the way there, thebetterlife.us, thebetterlife.us. There's not much there, I'll tell you that, but it's structured, it's actually filled out, there's actually posts in there, stuff like that. I'm trying to figure out how to make it, let it have it auto update with the feed, right? So I don't have to manually post every episode we do. So right now, 42 is the most recent episode on there. But I'd appreciate it if everybody just take 30 seconds to quickly look at it. Let me know what you think of the design. Let me know what you think about the aesthetics. If you're interested in one of our shirts at the merch, at the online store, thebetterlife.us/merch. You can use promo code YO11. That's one word, YO11, for 11% off of your purchase. Eric, bring us home.
Thank you all for listening. For Tim Lawson, I'm Eric Rosenthal. Good night and good luck.